All right, welcome again to the Weird for Good Hangout this week. We are here with my great friend, Melissa Ford from Chicago.
Great, welcome, hello. Melissa.
Yeah, glad to have you here. We're hoping the video is smooth today, and if not, check us out on the podcast version of this same Hangout. And either way, we're excited to have everyone with us today on our 14th WeirdForGood.com Hangout. If you'd like to find out more about Melissa's work, you can reach her online at empoweredcoachingsolutions.com. So, Melissa, we will get into this most recent blog post that I posted on my Weird for Good website, and really, you were the inspiration for it. So, appropriate that you're here to talk with me about it.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, the title was The Final Countdown, which my titles could probably use a little bit of work, but basically we're talking today about that life is not infinite. And you actually said that in one of our Hangouts here a few weeks ago. So if people didn't catch that, that was your quote. And really, is it not infinite? Because my life's been going on as long as I can remember. You know, other people have left this earthly realm, but I haven't yet. So,
right.
Sometimes it's hard for me to get that life isn't infinite, and what does that even mean? So,
yeah. Well, first, I just want to say that I stole "Life Isn't Infinite" from Will Keeper, and you wrote that in your blog. You wrote about his book Life Expectancy, and I was at that same conference that you were at in Tucson when Will Keeper got up and spoke to everybody about his book. I think it's called Life Expectancy. It's Never Too Late to Change the Game, something like that. And when I read his book, I was struck with this, what he said, which is life. We play life like it's infinite. And it really hit me because I'm 54 years old. I'm not 34. I'm not 24. I'm 54. And I have soon to be a 24-year-old son, a 22-year-old daughter, and the clock's ticking. And it's not scary, it's actually exciting, because if I wake up to the fact that every day is a day for me to live my life and really go for the things that I say that I want to go for and be more of the person that I say I want to be and stop waiting for the perfect moment, stop waiting for the kids to grow up. Oh, boy, they did. Stop waiting for, for the right degree, the right time, that people don't judge me anymore, that I finally know what I know, that I'm certain of an outcome. If I stop that, because it never happens. It never comes true. There's never the moment. And I was the master at waiting. And even though I made lots of changes and I did the things that I wanted to do, which was to raise my children and start a business and coach people and work with people, I was always kind of just hidden. I was in the background. I was waiting for my move when things were finally the right time. And they never were. So I get we need time to bake. We need time to evolve. But don't take too long, because if you're waiting, it's just going to keep on going. And that was my discovery. So I don't know about you, Aaron, how you feel about it, but it hit me like a ton of bricks when I heard Will speak about a year ago.
Yeah, you know, I think that was a great message that he gave us that afternoon in Tucson, and among a lot of things, and I related with him personally on some things that he shared with us. You know, I think even then I probably didn't get that message about the countdownable days, the bank account of sunrises. I remember he talked about sunrises, and each one is one less than you're going to have, you know, from the day before. So I remember it, and it was kind of a cool idea or a cute idea at the time. But when you said it just a few weeks ago, I think maybe I was more ripe for it because of what, you know, the other things I have going on in my life. But yeah, you know, it's like, could I really get that into my mind? Because could it release me? I mean, sure, it could be kind of scary because it's like, if life isn't infinite, then maybe I won't get around to everything. Maybe not everything I want to eventually do, I won't eventually do, because we're going to run out of time.
Right.
But could that also kind of free me up to say, hey, I'm not going to get it all done. So what are the important things? What's the stuff that really does matter? And can I start taking steps on that instead of doing today some kind of minutia that really isn't aligned with what I really want? And because that stuff is keeping me, that's keeping me in the waiting game.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's easy to do the minutia because the big stuff is scary. The stuff that we, you know, we do the minutia as a way to play this game that I'm really doing things. See, I'm doing things. I'm getting ready. I'm doing these things. But we know over here, off to the left somewhere or off to the right somewhere, there's this thing that we want to do, but it's scary. And so one of the ways that I played the big waiting game too is I would say to myself, well, I don't know how. And that's what initially drew me into the whole Coaching Prosperity School and reconnecting with Steve Chandler. I had read some of his books. His big distinction of the difference between want to versus how to. He's like, you don't need to know how to. You just need to want to. And the more I thought about it, I thought, my God, that's absolutely the truth. But I played that game too. You know, you talked about the stories people tell themselves. That was one of my huge stories. I don't know how to. And once I figure it out, then I'll do it. And I just want to say too, you know, I think that one of the beauties of aging is that things, these sorts of things that Will said, so, you know, you're going to have one less sunrise and, you know, your life's going on and you're playing the game like it's going to go on forever. One of the beauties of aging is that you start to understand it. Because when you're younger, I don't care if you're in your 20s or your 30s and even your early 40s, your life, at least if you think you're going to live to 80, still isn't half over. So it's easy to say, well, I have plenty of time. And you don't know how much time you have, and I don't know how much time I have, but we play this game so we can feel safe. Well, I've got plenty of time. And as you get older, the benefit is you realize you don't. And it's not scary. It's empowering. At least it is for me. And when I introduce that idea to clients of mine, and I work with a lot of women who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, some love it. Some are so afraid. I'm like, no, you need to use this to get you going, not to scare yourself and freak yourself out.
Yeah, you know, I think I kind of touched on that in the writing this week too, that as we get those boundaries kind of formed around us, it almost helps us get to work. I've kind of always related with the old MacGyver stuff. You know, I love MacGyver when I was a kid, so it's like if you only had, you know, a Snickers bar and a piece of tinfoil and a and a, you know, Swiss Army knife, it's like, what can you make happen? You know, I always love that resourcefulness and making something out of nothing and all that kind of stuff. But when you have an infinite amount of time in your mind, and when all things are possible, it's like that blank sheet of paper, you know, that for the writer, where you just, you can't put something on it because it's too scary to begin. Mm-hmm. But if that piece of paper, someone's shredding off a little, tearing off a strip every day, it's like you better get something on there, you know. Yeah. Get something on there before you're out. And that, I think, serves us to get us into action. And I think that's, I'm not trying to make a big theological statement about, you know, what the afterlife looks like or something like that. I think this is a little more practical. And can I get into action when I see that life isn't infinite?
Yeah, exactly. And make sure that the action isn't perfect. Mm. Don't wait for it to be perfect either. Just do something. And then that leads to something else and leads to something else, and that's what you want to do. Don't want perfection.
Yeah, so I'll share a quick story about the weekend, and we could go a little more into it too. I went to Denver for a conference that was put on by Hay House on writing from your soul, and so that plays into this blog, you know, becoming a book and things like that. But one of the things that I went to do there was show up in Denver, rent a car, and go about my business for the weekend. Well, when I got there to the airport, it turns out my driver's license is expired.
Oh, geez.
Okay. So I had no idea my driver's license was expired. So I get into Denver and didn't think anything about it because they let me through security and whatever. So I go to the Enterprise place, and guess what? You don't get to rent cars if your driver's license is expired, right? So in this moment, I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm in the city for the weekend. I have a friend who I was going to stay with, but you know the banquet hall place is downtown, and I got to get back and forth, and it's going to cost all this and all that to taxi back and forth. And so what happened was, I chilled out and went and got some lunch back at the airport, and I started making some calls. And you know, if you just in that moment, I had to relax, and I had to know it was kind of out of my hands. There was really nothing, you know, that I could physically do about my license. Well, it all worked out so beautifully. You know, my friend was already off work. He was able to come pick me up. It was middle of the afternoon. I thought I was going to have to wait till later. And they had a vehicle that I was able to use for the weekend.
Nice.
And, you know, it just, everything fell perfectly into place. And I could not have planned that. I could not have waited for the right time. You know, I wouldn't have even asked for that much hospitality from this friend of mine who's, you know, thank you, Ruskin and Lisa, by the way. But, you know, it's like if we try to manufacture our future perfectly, we're really doing ourselves a disservice, I think. It's like this little screw-up in my weekend actually made it 10 times better, you know. I was able to just kind of come and go. I didn't have the rented vehicle to worry about. And anyway, it all worked out great. And I couldn't have planned all that. I couldn't have waited for the perfect, you know, things to, you know, work out. So anyway, how that plays into what we're saying about don't do things perfectly. Just do mm-hmm. something. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's where I was going with all that is like, do something, even if it's a screw-up thing. Just get yourself out there, and then, you know, God will take care of the rest, or the rest will fall into place somehow.
You know, I agree with you. It's like there are many times when I did not get what I wanted. So maybe I was specifically going to go for something. And your example of going to the airport and not having, you know, an updated driver's license, so you couldn't get what you wanted. Often my discovery has been, the things that I couldn't get later turned out to be the best thing that ever happened for me. And sometimes it didn't look as easy as your experience with a car and staying at friends. Sometimes it really looked hellish, at least from my perspective, best thing that ever happened to me. And so all my learning has come from really situations that at least appeared challenging or actually were to me. Those were the best for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like that thing, it feels as if the cultural backdrop tells us to avoid pain, avoid mistakes, and, you know, have this story of how everything went right in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or there's even pressure
exactly
around
it.
That.
Yeah, yeah. Or you think you shouldn't do something because you don't have it totally figured out. Right? So I have a friend who's a coach in Pennsylvania, and I was talking to him on the phone, and it was really great because he said, you know, I've spent some time studying and philosophizing and theorizing, and he said, you know, I just have to go out and I just have to bleep up. I've just got to go screw up. I said, yeah. And so that's exactly it. So taking those action steps and not waiting and being okay if you fail, that's perfect because that's how you're going to learn. And then you're going to know what to do next and the next thing after that.
Yeah, you know, I'll share a little bit more about the weekend with Wayne Dyer, and it fits in here. You know, all the participants who are there, 500 people are there to watch this event, and they want to be writers. And we all have our story about why we're not succeeding in the writing business, or why we don't have our book yet, or we don't have time, or whatever. And, you know, the stories from the guy who's sitting up there that we all paid to go see don't look anything like our stories, right? Like, one of the great ones was his first book that was one of the all-time bestsellers for the decade of the 1970s, which is Your Erroneous Zones. That book, the first three printings of that book, he bought himself.
Wow, really?
7,000 copies of his book, at least, he said. He's not exactly sure, but the first three printings he bought himself and put in his garage and put in his trunk of his car and went around and did all these crazy things, took them to bookstores and sold them on consignment and gave them away and did everything he could. I mean, we figured up, you know, that's a bunch of dough after
yeah.
you've written the book. And if I did that and my friends or someone was like, so how's your book selling, your new book? I'm like, well, you know, sold 7,000 copies and I bought them all. You know, like,
I love that.
Who would do that? You know,
that's great.
Yeah, but the whole key was like, it has to sell so much in order to be printed again. And in order to be printed again, you know, it just drops off and you're kind of out of the game. Like, they won't print them again if they don't sell. And so he did everything he could possible, including purchasing them himself. And he didn't go into details of how he did, you know, how he paid for it or whatever. But, you know, he had to build that success himself and in such a risky, non-safe way, where talk about go out and screw up. I mean, by most, you know, but he believed in the message. He knew that this could help people, and eventually he got to a tipping point where it took off on its own and has now sold more copies than we could count.
You know,
and
crazy.
Still does. So
I love that story, Aaron. It reminds me of Bette Midler was recently interviewed. There was on the New York Times, there was a video, and it's crazy because she's got a one-person play she's doing on Broadway now. And when the guy who was interviewing her said, so how did you get started? And she said, well, I was young. I was in my 20s. I'm doing plays. I'm doing other work. And all of a sudden, it dries up. And there's nothing. And I don't know what to do. And I can't figure out how to actually do what I love. And he said, so what did you do? And she said, I decided I would make my own content. I would create my own content, whatever it looked like. I would make my life happen for me. And she said, and I just started writing, I just started performing, I just started doing, you know, stand-up comedy, I did whatever it took. So instead of waiting for the perfect play or waiting for somebody to contact her and say, you know, here, we've got something wonderful for you. She went out and did it. She grew it. And that's just what you said Wayne Dyer did, and that's what people do.
Yeah, and I think that we could lose the word almost in there, but you said it. They decided, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what should I do? What's my purpose? What's my passion? You know, what's the true thing that I was exactly put on this earth uniquely for? I think, and Steve Chandler says it too, it's like, decide what that is.
Right.
Make a choice yourself on what that is, and then just go with that, and I think if you've got it kind of wrong, you're going to get bumped into the right lane of traffic at some point. You know, like you're going to figure that out along the way. But if you stay in the waiting game and don't decide, well,
yeah.
I just am saying that from personal experience of, you know, myself. So
yeah, me too. And I love that it is deciding. And the thing, too, is when you decide you're going to do something, if you start to see the evidence doesn't support this thing that you love to do and want to be, don't let it stop you, right? Because if you let it stop you, like Wayne Dyer didn't and Bette Midler didn't, you don't look to say, oh, see, I can't have it. You just ignore it and you keep pushing ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell just a little bit more about that. One of the things, when he talked about taking these around to bookstores, so he'd give them 10 books, and then he'd go on a radio show and take any spot they would give him, you know, to do any time of day or night, do an interview on the radio. So he could get on there and kind of basically coach some people or do some therapy and then promote his book. And the bookstores in that area, he was just in a small local area of New York, and he would actually take after those broadcasts and tell the bookstore owner, "Hey, how's things going with my book sales?" And they would say, "You know what? We've been getting all these calls about your book, and then a few people are buying them too." He had his wife wow. calling the bookstores and using different accents and asking about the book that he had dropped up. "Hey, do you have that book, Your Erroneous Zones?" In different accents.
That is so awesome. Talk about creative. And talk about creatively building what you want.
I mean, he was hitting them from all angles, you know. It's he was actually doing the work. It wasn't a cheating scam thing in a way. I mean, it's like he did everything he could do, and so the interest of the bookstore owners would stay up, you know, because they're like, "Well, people are calling, so yeah, we'll take some more and replace the ones that we've already sold." And eventually led to Carson and all that stuff, and he of course went on from there. But I mean, you can't get that. That's such a cool story, I thought, when he said he had his wife using the different accents to call. So.
Yeah, yeah. He was not going to not succeed, was he?
Yeah, exactly right. He was. When you said, "What's the evidence? What can I look around and say, what's the evidence of my success? Or what's the evidence that this is a good idea? Or what's the evidence that this thing's going to pan out? Because if it's not, I'm going to bail, right? If it's not, I'm going to quit putting effort in. If it's not, I'm going to slow down and take it a little easier, slower, expand my time frame, you know."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. How much time do we have? Because I have one other story about not giving up. Do we have enough time?
Yeah, I would love that. Let's do your story, and then we'll wrap it up, and that puts us around 30 minutes. So,
okay.
Be awesome.
Okay, so one of the ways, I played the waiting game, and then I decided I was done, whatever it was going to take. I was going to do whatever it was to continue to coach people, to grow to develop myself as a coach. I was going to do all those things. So I decided this summer, I just decided 6 weeks ago, I was going to have this very powerful group of 6 women. I didn't know who they were. And I was going to create, in the most unreasonable time, which was the summertime, 4 sessions where we were going to be together, and then 2 coaching sessions for each person. And I priced it so that it was fairly reasonable. People could afford it, but I was going to make this happen. And so I started, and I was told no by about 18 people. And I thought, I don't care. I'm going to find one person. I am not going to make it up that I can't make this thing happen. What I'm going to offer is going to be so mind-blowing. Somebody's got to say yes. So I finally get one woman, and she tells me all of her stories why she can't. And I basically say to her, "You know, that's just a story." And she starts laughing. She goes, "Yeah, I know that's a story." And I said, "What do you really want?" And we had that conversation, and she said, "Yes, I had one person." I have 2 weeks before this started, this kickoff, I have 5 people now. I just talked to somebody, enrolled them today, and there's one more woman I'm going to talk to tomorrow, and I'm going to get her. Because this woman is ready to make a move. She's ready to be a part of a group. She's ready to be supported by 5 other people. And I got to tell you, I felt so accomplished that I just didn't give it up and go, "Yeah, see, nobody wants it." So that's just the story. And it was my own personal experience. It's very empowering. And it's the way you got to do it. I mean, a la Wayne Dyer and Bette Midler.
And Melissa Ford.
And Melissa Ford.
Absolutely. And bravo to that, because I love the 18. You know, we were at this writer's thing, and you just get all the stories of how many times people are turned down, how many times were turned down, you know? So I didn't want to leave there writing one book. I want to leave there within my mind that I'm writing 20 books, because it's going to take 15 books before, you know, one of them is a huge hit according to these numbers. And it's like, how does that do? It's the same thing with the infiniteness. And so you rocked that creation of yours. And if you know that eventually you'll get there, if you keep hitting it.
Yes. Yes.
It almost frees you up just to keep buzzing through those first 18 people in a way.
Yeah, exactly. They're not ready. That's cool. Yeah. So where's the person who is?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I'm glad you stuck with it, because you're going to have an awesome group.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm really excited. And they're all very, very different, which makes it even more fun.
Cool. Yeah, so it's even better than if the first probably six people that you talked to took it on.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, why don't we wrap up for today? I know everybody's still on the edge of their seat listening to your words as usual. So we'll come back again and do this. And if you're out there in the world, you want to check out Melissa Ford's website. It is www.empoweredcoachingsolutions.com. Or my name is Aaron Nichols, and you can find me at weirdforgood.com. And anyway, thanks. Thank you, Melissa, for being here, and you totally rock. So.
Thanks, Aaron. You do too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Awesome. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks.